Hallelujah. Tom, that was very good. Thank you. Yes. I appreciate that. It gives us something to think about. And all those smiling faces this morning. Now, those of you who have been with us over the last little while will know and be aware of the fact that we have been talking about different aspects of faith. And we're going to continue this morning. Last week we talked about faith to overcome the pressures of life. And that's available on the CD. But I want to talk to you this morning about the fact that we need a kingdom mindset on faith in order to handle kingdom finances. See, there's so much available to us as the people of God. And I believe that what I want to say to you this morning, if you can take it and receive it and apply it, it might just be the most liberating message you ever hear this year. Yeah. It may just release you into a new level of kingdom finances that you haven't experienced yet. See, God is much more than any of us have ever touched on yet. There's so much more to be had. There's more going on around about you than what you can handle with your five senses. There's more than you can feel and taste and touch and all of that. There's much, much more. There's more than the physical. There's more than the emotional. There's more than the soulish realm. There's also the spiritual realm where God is. And God has already done everything that's necessary. As Tom was saying, it's already completed. It's done. Everything is done. Everything is available. Everything is ready. All we have to do is learn how to move into it and apply it in our lives. Because I'll tell you this, if you don't do that, if you don't move into it, you're going to experience what many of you are presently experiencing is a hit and miss life. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Well, maybe it not this time, maybe the last time. So you've got to come to the place where this actually works. I want to read a verse to you this morning that I guarantee you not many of you have ever read. And this is in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 16. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 16 says this. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised and his words are not heard. I'm going to read that to you again because I think it's important. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised and his words are not heard. Now that verse is telling me that the poor man's wisdom is despised. In other words, his gospel or his words are not heard because they don't hear the words. People don't hear it. He may shout at the top of his voice. He may roar. He may do all of those things. But he's limited because he's poor. He can't do the things that he needs to do. He can't afford to do what he needs to do because he's a poor person. And because he's a poor person, he's not going to be able to make disciples because nobody wants to be like him and be poor. Very simple, isn't it? It's not difficult. We need to come to that place where we understand this message of moving in kingdom, a kingdom mindset to manage kingdom finances. Let me read another verse to you along the same line. Proverbs 19 and verse 7 in the New Living Testament. Proverbs 19:7, New Living. Listen to this. All the brothers of the poor hate him. How much more do his friends go from him? He may pursue them with words, yet they abandon him. See, that's saying the same thing that Ecclesiastes says. No one wants to have fellowship or be with a poor man because they become like him. In all the years that we've been involved in ministry, and that's now over 40 years, when we started out, we didn't understand the principles. It was very hit and miss with us. Some people would get healed, some people wouldn't. Some people would get blessed, some wouldn't. Because I didn't understand this. I had an idea, I had a thought, I had something that I believed God was speaking to my heart. And I remember, those of you who've been around for a long time, will remember people called Cress and Margaret Buthen. I think Keith is smiling, he remembers them. Now, Cress and Margaret were an interesting couple. They were wonderful people. Margaret was a school teacher, and Cress was a taxi driver. When they first came to this ministry, they had nothing really worth talking about. They had a little Datsun 180B, and there was no floor in it. I'd been in the car, and you're watching the road going past. And gradually, they began to improve. They, you know, they get a better car, and eventually they ended up with a decent car and so forth. They were interesting people. I won't go into their background. The point I'm saying is this, that while they were poor, nobody wanted to know them. But once they began to prosper, things began to happen. Margaret got into business. She got into, my memory was, it was Grace Cosmetics, I think, that she got into. And she started to be successful. And people would associate with her because she was emulating success and showing success in the business. Now, eventually, they both passed away. But we have to be like them, that they were in that time. You have to come to the place where you reject poverty and lack.
Yeah, amen.
You say, this is not for me. This is not part of the kingdom message for me. I've had people come to me and say, well, are you saying that all Christians should be prosperous? I'm saying that, yes, but that's not necessarily the message. But just because we're saying people need to be prosperous, I'm not saying people don't need to be prosperous. There's two sides to this thing. You have to set your mind, reject the poverty, because you can be more effective when you have money. Ian makes this statement. He said, money's not all that important. He just puts it up there with oxygen. If you don't have oxygen, guess what? It's gone. You're finished. See, when you have the finances, you're able to do a lot more than you can without it. I don't believe God wants his people to demonstrate poverty. And we'll look at some scriptures in a minute or two. Because when you have the funds, you're able to finance the gospel. We can... Kids are having fun in there. Sounds like the balloons are all going off. When you've got the funds, you can finance the gospel. And we're thankful that you lot here today, you were able to send $40,000 to the children in Philippines. Yeah. And we sent $3,200 recently to Transylvania. And we're waiting on a report coming back from that one. That camp has been effective. And Chris has some video from that, which we will be showing as soon as it's all put together. But we need to be people who understand. Here's another verse. Look, this is, I think, a key verse again. Zechariah. See, I'm pulling verses out today that you don't use very much. Zechariah chapter 1 and verse 17. Zechariah 1:17. It says, my cities through prosperity shall be spread abroad. Let me read that again. My cities through prosperity shall be spread abroad. See, we can't spread the kingdom unless we understand about kingdom finances.
Yeah,
we can't do the things that we need to do. We can't afford to run crusades and have television time. And everything that you do for the kingdom costs money. Yes. To rent this little building, it costs money to rent the building. Now, thank God we've never had a problem with any of these things. That's always been taken care of. Let me give you a New Testament one, saying those are all Old Testament. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. 2 Peter 1, 3. According as his divine power has given unto us, here's an interesting phrase, all things. His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and to virtue. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Now this all comes, as it says, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and to virtue. It comes through the knowledge of the kingdom. Yeah. If you don't have it and experience it today, it's because you're lacking in knowledge. Yes. The more knowledge you get, the easier it becomes. Yeah. It's a learning process. See, the culture of the kingdom is to bring us back to what God originally intended. God is trying to get us to that place where we will repent, change our thinking, and receive Jesus, and become useful and efficient members of the kingdom of God, and thereby extend the kingdom. The kingdom is not a democracy. It is a theocracy. Christ is the king, we are to be his loyal subjects. When we accept the lordship of the king, we also accept his provision and his protection. Now, I've told you already, I think this is a very important message for you. But if we refuse the presence of the reigning king, then we are bound for destruction at the hand of the enemy. So we have to accept what the king is saying. And our king lets us know that everything belongs to him. But for you and for me, he has allowed us to be stewards or trustees of what he owns. That means that we have the right to use. We become stewards in the kingdom. And we have the right to make decisions about it. But it still all belongs to him. So we have to be people then who are following his directions, his commands, and his word. Psalm 24 and verse 1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness of it." Everything in it belongs to him. And he said, "Everything that the Father has is mine, and everything that I have, I've given to you." So therefore, the earth and the fullness belongs to you. You have access to it. You can use it, but it still all belongs to him. Under the old covenant, God gave people the ability or the power to get wealth. When Jesus came, he took that concept and brought it up to a new covenant concept and based it on better promises. The old promise was in Genesis 13, somewhere along there, it says, God took Abraham out and said, "As far as your eyes can see, I'm giving it to you and your descendants." He says, "Can you count the stars?" Now, if you were with us on Tuesday night, you remember that I made this statement. Why did God take Abraham out, or he was Abram then, why did he take him out and show him the stars? It was because he was a stargazer. God met him at a level that he could understand. The scripture tells us in Joshua that Abram and his father worshipped other idols, other gods. The people of his community worshipped the moon, and the moon god was called Nana. So all your grandmas, be careful what they call you. The moon god was called Nana, and so they worshipped the moon god and gave offerings and sacrifices to the moon god, believing that with the cycle of the moon, it affected the death and life and so forth of the community. So they worshipped the moon god. Abraham was a moon worshipper. So God took him out and said, "Can you see the stars? That's how many kids you're going to have. See the sand on the seashore? That's how many kids you're going to have. This is all going to be yours." See, it is a law of God that if you will say what God says, then you will have what God says. This is something that works every time. But everything that you earn, you may work for ABC Company, whatever the company's called, and you get a salary every fortnight or every month or whatever it is. All that salary, it's yours to use, but it actually belongs to him. It's still all his. It's all his. But see, God gives us the opportunity to sow seeds in order to reap harvests. And if we don't take the opportunities to sow the seeds, listen to me, you will soon run out of resources. Because your resources will only go so far. You may say, "Oh well, you know, I sold a house and we made, you know, $100,000 on it." We've had 27 homes. Not all of them, but we've owned most of them. Every time we sold a home and made money on it, we'd put it in the kingdom. Whatever finances we made out of it, we never used that really for ourselves. We would buy another house, yes, but the bulk of it we'd put into the worship, the work of God. And so we just keep putting it back into the kingdom again because it all belongs to him anyway. And thank God for the opportunities that he gives us to earn something. But the power to get wealth, Deuteronomy 8:18, you know the verse. "You remember the Lord your God, he gives you the power to get wealth that he might establish his covenant." So God wants to establish his covenant. And Jesus just intensified the terms of the covenant when he brought it up to the new covenant. Hebrews 8:6, based on better promises. So if we will faithfully and obediently follow the word under the new covenant, listen to me, we will become more effective than the people under the old covenant, and the people who obeyed under the old covenant became multimillionaires. Some of you haven't got this message yet. God is trying to get you up to the place where you're operating under this new covenant. And in order to do that, you have to have, listen to me, a kingdom mindset. Not a poverty mindset. Poverty mindset tells you what you can't do. Kingdom mindset tells you what God has already done for you. Say, thank you, Lord. It's already done. It's mine. Religion won't accept it, Tom. But when you renew your mind and start to think kingdom thoughts, then things begin to happen. See, learning to live with a kingdom mindset is not just important financially, it's important for your ministry as a king and a priest. Do you know there are approximately 7 billion people on the earth today? 7 billion people. Of that 7 billion people, less than 3 billion of them are born again. That means only half of the people in the world have some form of religion, as far as being born again are concerned. Now that makes it simple. That means if every one of those 3 billion, would win one, the job's done. But unfortunately, I can guarantee you that if I went through this little group of people this morning and asked you how many people have you led to Christ this year, I'm going to get a zero answer. Well, you need to start and tell people about Jesus. We need to start and share it. It starts with you right now in your place. You can win. Make it a goal this year to win one person to Jesus. Just one. And when you win one, they say, wow, that was easy. Let me do it again. Amen. What's happening in this year, in the next, 5-6 weeks? Something exciting happening in this country in June. Someone's listening. Elections. Do you realize that Australia, and of course America now, because they've coming up to presidential elections in July, the countries like Australia and America and other countries, they spend billions of dollars on the elections. I wonder why they do that. They do that because there's something in mankind that thinks that the right government will handle things correctly. And then they find, no, it didn't work again. See, the reason is the people that we have in power in government here in Australia and also in America and other countries too, they don't have a kingdom mindset. They have a dollar mindset or they have a voting mindset, but they haven't got a kingdom mindset. And because they don't have a kingdom mindset, they don't have kingdom wisdom. And as a result of not having kingdom wisdom, they're not able to handle what's happening the way they ought to, the way God planned it. The Bible teaches us about government, and it's important that we understand that. Let me read this little verse to you. You know it. We've used this one before. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. In Genesis chapter 1, let me just turn there and read it to you from this New King James translation that I'm using. And it says, "And God said, let us," that's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, "let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them have," listen to this word, "dominion. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that's on the earth." God gave mankind dominion. Dominion means kingdom. When Adam lost dominion, he lost the kingdom mindset. Adam fell from his place of ruling, and a kingdom is the governing influence of the king on the area of that kingdom. Ideally, a king impacts the people of the kingdom with his will and his purposes, so he can have a people who reflect his royal morals, if you like, and his kingdom values with a kingdom mindset. You look at the countries of the world who have kings or queens. They're different to ones that have presidents. You just think about it for some time. Man was to be king, if you like, or God in this kingdom of the earth. The earth was to have God's morals, God's values, God's mindset spread through this kingdom, because God wanted to colonize in the earth from the kingdom of heaven. This was to be an outpost, if you like, to use a term, a colony from heaven. God planned that his thinking, his values, his mindset would rule here in the earth. But because of disobedience, Adam lost this kingdom mindset. He was supposed to dominate the kingdom for heaven, on behalf of heaven. That's why Jesus taught us in Matthew 6, he says, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done," where? In earth, same way it's already done in heaven. See, this was to be a colony, it was to be an outpost. But Adam lost it. He was no longer ruling. He declared independence from the rule of the king that he was supposed to be subservient to. He declared independence, and when he declared independence, he lost his rule, he lost his dominion, he lost his authority, he lost everything, including the financial right to use the finances of the kingdom. But Jesus came to restore the kingdom mindset. Jesus came to bring it all back to us again. Now, I want to suggest to you that because of man's need of government, when Adam fell from his place of ruling, he then discovered that he had to have some form of government. And so fallen man's government became the rule. The first thing that happened under fallen man's government was murder in the family. Cain and Abel. Murder in the family. And you know, violence has been the keynote of man's government ever since. I want you to think about these things. When you declare independence from a kingdom, you throw off the kingdom mindset. You throw off the mindset of the king, the government of the king, but you also throw off his ruling and his prosperity. What is prosperity? Prosperity is the evidence that a kingdom is expanding. Poverty is the evidence that a kingdom is not having any effect in those around about it. Remember I said, people don't want to follow a poor man. They don't want to be poor like him. People don't want to follow a poor colony because they don't want to be poor like it. But the power of multiplication comes from the kingdom of God. The power of sowing and reaping comes from the kingdom of God. These are the principles that the kingdom has. Jesus said in Luke 6 and 38, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom." So we have to change our mindset. We have to get the mindset of the kingdom, because the kingdom mindset really works. It produces. This is a unique book. This is the operating manual for the kingdom.
Yeah.
It makes phenomenal claims, but they're all true. They all work. If we'll apply the principles with a kingdom mindset, we'll find we'll get the results. But let me say this to you. You can't do this with a second-hand faith. I'm just going to refer to a passage in the scripture. We're not going to examine it today, but in Acts chapter 19, there's a passage there where Paul casts out a demon. And these Jewish exorcists, they try to cast out a demon. And they say, well, we cast you out in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. Now listen to the words. We cast you out in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. Secondhand faith. The demon turned and leaped on them. Tore all their clothes off. Interesting stuff. But listen to what the demon said. The demon said, well, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? See, the devil knows whether you know or not. We need to know this word. We need to have a mindset of the kingdom. And you don't get that by copying somebody else's faith. Faith comes by hearing this word. So we need to spend time in this word. We have to spend more time, folks, and get to know this, just like Tom was saying at communion this morning. See, a lot of people hear it with religious ears. You have to hear it with kingdom ears. You have to hear it with the voice of the kingdom. Because if you don't, how many of you have ever heard this little phrase? Ignorance is bliss. I got news for you. That doesn't work in the kingdom. In the kingdom, ignorance will kill you. Listen to this. Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Isaiah 5:13. My people have gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. Lack of knowledge will kill you in the kingdom. We have to know what the book says. We have to be resolved in our thinking to search this book out, to understand it. Because, you know, I've discovered that education, which is wonderful and we need it, it's important. But education and understanding the world's financial systems doesn't work in the kingdom. You have to search this book out. Let me give you some information this morning. Do you know that there are 38 parables in the New Testament? Of the 38 parables in the New Testament, 16 of those 38 parables deal with finances. There are 500 verses in the Bible on prayer. There are about 500 verses on faith, but there are over 2,000 verses on finance. Do you think God is interested in you coming to that place where you have a kingdom mindset about these finances? I believe He is. One of the key parables that Jesus taught was in Mark chapter 4 about the parable of the sower sowing the seeds. And this is an interesting thing that He said. He said, if you don't understand this one, you won't understand any other one. If you don't understand the simplicity of this about the kingdom finances, then you're not going to understand anything else. Interesting teaching. It's about sowing seeds and reaping harvests. Isaiah picked it up. He said in Isaiah 55, he talked about that God will give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. I mean, God will feed you if you're hungry, but He won't give you seed because you'd only eat your seed. But if you're a sower, He'll give you seed.
Yeah,
we've discovered that. You can. I was listening to Kenneth Copeland a few months ago. One of his stories was about when he first started, you know, he went along to an Oral Roberts meeting and he didn't have anything to give. And so he found there was a little pencil in the envelope that they gave him. And so he took the little pencil. He says, Lord, I don't have anything, but this pencil is going to be my seed for today. And when I've got $10, I'll put it in, but I'm putting the pencil in the meantime. And he put the pencil in. And before he left the meeting, a woman came up and said, God told me to give you this, gave him $10. So he went and got the offering guy and said, let me take the pencil out and put the $10 in. See, you have to come to a place where you understand the principle. The parable of sowing is so important. We have to understand how to sow and how to reap. God gives seed to sowers. He will give bread to your eaters. Let me read another scripture. Some of these scriptures are so good. 1 Chronicles 29 and 14. 1 Chronicles 29, 14. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, Lord, and we know we have given only what comes from your hand. Everything comes from God. Everything you give is His. See, I said a few moments ago that education and the ability to understand finances in the world shows me that it's not working very well. How many times do you see on your television adverts to, you know, get out of debt or how to budget properly? Oh, that's all telling me that people have problems, they have difficulties, and it's because the truth that's missing from their lives, the truth of how this kingdom finance works. But you know, it's not all about money. It's not about how much money you can get. Somebody said, whoever has the most money when he dies wins. I don't think that's true. Think about those words. Whoever has the most when he dies, you missed it altogether. Paul said in 1 Timothy 6:10 that money is not the root of evil, it's the love of it. Yeah. The love of money. Jesus gave the story, he talked about the rich man. He said that it was more difficult for the rich man to get into heaven. And that makes people think, oh no, God is against prosperity. No, he's not. God is against money having you. He's not against you having money.
Yes, amen.
What the message of that story that Jesus gave was that the man who put more emphasis, more attention on his money than he did on the Lord. In other words, you put your money and your finances above your place that you put the Lord in. And he's saying, you spend more time thinking about your money and your income than you do thinking about the kingdom. He says, that makes it difficult for that person to get into heaven. The person who's got that mindset. Here's an interesting little verse for you this morning. You may or may not know it. Psalm 37 and verse 25. I have been young and now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. I've been young and now I'm old. I've not seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. You can really start to open up some of these verses if you think about them. See, the scripture cannot be broken. It is the truth. The word of God is the truth. Now, I'm going to read a number of verses to you this morning. I want to do this to you. About 6 or 7 or maybe 8 verses I'm going to read to you. I put them all in my notebook so I don't miss them. And I want you to think about them. This is the truth. Deuteronomy 28 verse 11. Just make a note of these. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and in the crop. So God will give abundant prosperity. 1 Kings chapter 2 verse 3 in the Living Bible. Only obey the laws of God and follow His ways. Keep each of His commands written in the law of Moses so that you will prosper in everything you do wherever you turn. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 19. Moreover, when God gives any man wealth and possessions and enables him to enjoy them and to accept his lot and be happy in his work, this is the gift of God. Job 36 verse 11. If they obey and serve him, they'll spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. Psalm 1 verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Psalm 112. You should read all of Psalm 112. I'll just read a couple of verses. Psalm 112, 1. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord and finds great delight in his commands. His children will be mighty on the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Verse 3. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Proverbs 8, 21, Living Bible. Those who love and follow me are indeed wealthy. I will fill their treasures. Zechariah 1:17. Again proclaim, thus says the Lord of hosts, my cities shall again spread out through prosperity. I read this to you before. The Lord will again comfort Zion and will again choose Jerusalem. Talking about expanding the kingdom. Now a couple more. Isaiah 48 and verse 17. Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God who teaches you how to profit, who leads you by the way that you should go. Now all of those scriptures are about you being blessed financially, about you growing and increasing, that you getting an understanding, a kingdom mindset, so you can do what God is calling you to do in the kingdom. Now, Paul in the New Testament sort of pulls that all together, and this is what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. He says, for I know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich.
Amen.
Those are his words, not mine.
Hallelujah.
Colossians 3:23 and 24. He says, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance because you serve the Lord.
Yeah.
Kingdom mindset. See, from all of these things that I've just read, these scriptures, it is God's agenda that his children prosper and be in health. As 3 John 2 says, I want above all things that you should prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. What does that mean? As you change your mindset, as you change from a poverty mindset to a kingdom mindset, then you will prosper and be in health. Let me read this last verse, and I've paraphrased it. You understand what I mean by that? I've paraphrased this last verse. This is Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things, money, wealth, and riches that the Gentiles are seeking after will be added unto you. So, today, can I encourage you, get a kingdom mindset. You think about what you could do if money wasn't a problem. You could say, oh, if I had, you know, if I won tax lotto. Now, I can take you through this book and show you where it warns against gambling and against all of that. I'm not doing that this morning. But think about if you just had $1 million just dropped into your hands today, what could you do with it? I know Ross is thinking, oh yes, I'm thinking that I've got missionaries in Uganda that I could help, and there's lots of... The reason we're not doing it is we haven't got the kingdom mindset. We haven't yet moved into this line of thinking. See, most of us are thinking, well, if I was able, I would like to do this. It would be nice to change that. Start thinking like a king. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 says, where the word of a king is, there is great power. And who will say to him, why did you say that? See, there's nobody going up to Queen Elizabeth today. Not this Elizabeth, but Queen Elizabeth. She's my queen. There's nobody going up to Queen Elizabeth on her 90th birthday and saying, why did you say that? She said it. That's it. She's the boss. Do you know that they call her the boss in Buckingham Palace? The boss said it. Has to be done. Where the word of a king is. Ecclesiastes, where the word of a king is. Revelation, we are kings and priests unto our God.
Amen.
All right. I'm looking at a whole bunch of kings.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, we love you, and I trust that what we've said will help you understand and get you to the place where you can change your thinking. and start to think above instead of thinking below. We love you and appreciate you this morning. God bless you. Thanks, Ian. You want to come finish?
Praise the Lord.
Well, that was good, amen?
Amen.
Yes. Praise God. Well, we're going to talk about the tithes and offerings. And I want to encourage you that I was praying about what to share with you over the offering day and as we took this up, and the Lord's given me something specific to encourage you with. I want to encourage you that we're talking about being kingdom-minded, which is correct. So if we're going to be kingdom-minded, we're going to do the things the way the kingdom says they have to be done, not just the way we want them done. And I want to just encourage you that when God created Adam, he said that he was to have dominion. But one of the things he did was he brought the animals. The word says the Lord brought the animals to Adam, yes, to see what he would name them. That is, he had dominion over the animals by speaking and naming them. And Adam had dominion with those words. He would speak, and that's how he was told to take dominion, to name the animals. But then he lost it, didn't he? When the fell came, he lost it, and he found very quickly that he had to labour by the sweat of his brow. We know, I encourage you that we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. We've been set into the kingdom of light. And I'll tell you what, Jesus redeemed us from having to work by the sweat of our brow.
Yes.
I didn't say he didn't have to work. We have to work because we develop our skills and our gifts, yes, to everyone else. But you know what? You don't have to worry about it and strive about it, praise God. Amen? Yes. We can do it his way, the kingdom way. Yes. I want to encourage you here. You know, all know the scripture from Genesis 8:22, where it says, "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease." And we've been listening to Jerry Saville preaching about God being our source. And man, that's good stuff. But I want to encourage you here that you can't pray, and we can't pray to the Lord, "I've had too much heat, turn off the heat. I've had too much cold, turn off the cold, Lord." No, summer and winter, cold and heat, the seasons are going to follow. Well, so will sowing and reaping. And the last instruction the Lord gave to a seed was, "You produce."
Yes.
That was it. Seeds know nothing more to do than actually to produce, amen? So when you sow a seed, you need to have faith the Lord is going to be able to produce, and that seed's going to come up. But I want to encourage you, you know, many of us have given and given and given and given and given and given. And, I mean, all our lives we've given. I know I have. I can remember as a 10-year-old getting whatever pocket money I have and run up to the front and putting it in the offering, because that was the mindset. Give, praise God. But you know what? Not all of us are diligent in believing and receiving for that harvest.
Yeah.
And that's a key thing. And one of the things that the Lord just impressed on me to share with you this morning was that when we talk about receiving the harvest, you know, it's something that has to be done. It just doesn't happen automatically. But the seed is there ready to... It is produced. We've just got to chase after the harvest. So let me share a couple of scriptures here that were a real blessing. And just talk to you about that. And just encourage you in how we can receive our harvest. Because what happens is, we've got to be mindful of the wiles of the devil. Doesn't the word tell us that? Be mindful of the wiles. Let me give you one of the wiles of the devil. This is one of his wiles. You sow your seed on a Sunday. We put it into our basket here, into our offering basket. And we sow our tithes, we sow our offerings. We're being kingdom-minded. We've got to be kingdom-minded. We're sowing our seed. And you know what? In our mind, this is how the devil tricks us. He says, "You don't really have to believe for a harvest. Don't activate your faith on that, because you have a job and you'll get your wages on Friday again. You'll have more money." And he tricks us out of standing in faith to receive that harvest.
Yes.
You know why?
Yeah.
Because we actually don't believe that God is our source, because we know on Friday we're getting paid. We've got to get out of that, and we've got to, when we sow our seed, we need to now activate our faith and say, "Lord, we have sown a seed and I'm believing for a harvest. I know I get paid on Friday, but you're my source. That's the channel. You're my source, and I'm believing for the harvest to come in," and declare it and stand on it. Amen. Here in James, it talks about quickly, it's talking here about a rich man and people who put all of their you know, their trust, and who defraud and take away. Well, let me tell you what, the devil's trying to defraud you. He's trying to keep your harvest from coming to you, and trying to keep you from getting to your harvest. What it says here, it says, "Behold," it says, "the hire of the labourers, which is reaped down your fields," it says, "which is you have kept back by fraud, crieth." What it's saying here is, you've been defrauded. The rich man has kept back. The devil has kept back things that you've worked for. Seed that you've sown, the devil has kept back because he doesn't want you to have it. And it says here that the harvest
your harvest of everything you've sown is crying out. It's saying, I want to get to my seed sower. I want to get back to the person it belongs to. Amen. It's crying out. Then it goes on and says here, and it says the harvest cries out. It's seeking for the ones that it needs. And it says then, it also talks about how that the cries of them which should reap it, that's you and I.
Yeah.
It says here, have entered into the ears of the Lord. It says of the Sabaoth is the name there that he's saying, the Lord of the Sabaoth. Not the Sabbath. And what that means is not that we're crying for the Lord, but we're aggressively saying, Lord, you know what? We've got a harvest, and I want that harvest to come in. We're not crying in pity. We're not crying in sadness. But interesting, when I studied up there, the Lord of Sabaoth, our cries that we want our harvest in so we can do what we need to do have entered into the ears of the Lord of the Sabaoth. Now, the Lord of Sabaoth, it means there, Adonai, and the translation is, I think it's Tzvak. Tzozvakt, or Tzozvakt, I think it is. Adonai Tzozvakt. It simply means the Lord of the armies, the angelic armies. Our cries that we want our harvest to come in now have entered into the Lord, the ears of the Lord of the harvest, the Lord of the armies, the angelic armies. Why? Because in Hebrews 1:14, the angels are there, they're the armies of the Lord. They're sent out to minister under the heirs of salvation. Yeah. The Lord's given us help here. Our cries have entered into the ears of the Lord of the angelic host. He's saying, I've got an army here. They're going to help get your harvest in, but you're going to have to declare it. You're going to have to speak it out. Amen?
Yeah.
So I want to encourage you that we've got help to get our harvest in. Activate our faith when we sow our seed, amen. Put our tithe in and stand and believe. Now, how do we get our harvest in? We stand, we send the angels out, we stand in faith, we thank the Lord for it. And the word tells us here that when the harvest is due, when it's time for the harvest, what does he say? The sower puts in the sickle.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's a sickle? The Lord tells the disciples here, the sickle is a sharp instrument that you bring in your harvest with. That's what you'd cut your harvest with. Well, guess what? What is sharper than any two-edged sword? Here is a sickle that you get your harvest in with.
Yeah.
You speak the word of God over it and you believe it. I'll tell you what, that harvest will come in. So I encourage you today, don't just put our tithe in. Don't just put our offering in and go, it's done. Let's say, Lord, you're my source. And let's believe, actively believe every day, amen, to get that harvest back again so that we can give out again and be a blessing.
Yes.
I know I'm all excited, but I stirred myself up and we've been listening to it. And I thought, man, that was revelation. We send the angels out. And when I put my seed in on a Sunday, we do that. We say, thank you, Father, we've given. We believe that we've given into our hands. And thank you, Father, I receive a harvest on it. Then I say, angels, you go out and you bring my harvest to me. I don't care how you're going to do it, but you get it into my hands where I need it in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
We send them out. The word says you would do it. We've charged them. So encourage you to do the same thing and then just keep on standing. Amen? Keep on standing. The word says there that when we give, men will give into our bosom. So men, you and I are God's first source to help each other. You know why that is? Because you and I need the harvest. We need the harvest of giving. But if we don't, listen. And how many times have we been in a situation where we've sown a seed or we've been told to sow a seed and we haven't done it? If we don't listen, then the Lord will use birds and anything else he has to use to get that to you. But our first part is, men to give into our bosom. So let's take up our tithe and offering. Let's stand up. Let's have our confession. Praise God. And encourage you to believe the Lord for the return. Amen. So if you've got your tithe in one hand, faith in our heart, amen.
Yes, praise God.
Kingdom mind, and let's say, 1, 2, 3. Father God, today I come into your house bringing my tithe and offering according to Malachi 3:10. Thank you for rebuking the devourer on my behalf. Because I am a faithful and consistent giver, I'm not limited to the world's economy. I speak your word over my finances. You have blessed me to be a blessing. Amen. Samuel, brother, would you help me take that up? That would be appreciated.
Praise God.
As Dad said there, you know, we just it's being kingdom-minded in every step of the way, every situation, every circumstance. Amen. And then you will be blessed. And just remember that God is the source, and the source simply means the very point of origin. It all comes from God, amen?
Yeah.
He's our source and we'll be blessed, praise the Lord. So just got to keep feeding yourself and encouraging yourself in the word. We do that, Russ and I call each other during the week and then encourage what we have been listening to, what have we been studying on. And say, listen to this, listen to this revelation, how about this? Listen to this scripture. Speak that out, amen? Encouraging each other as we go along. And you know what? When you get excited, enthusiasm is something that really... Enthusiasm is a sign of expectancy. Yeah. Man, I'm expecting good things. Yeah. I'm expecting harvest. And so praise God. When you get enthusiastic, some people like it, some people don't. But praise God, I'm showing I'm expecting, you know, and good things are going to come and are underway. Praise the Lord. All right, we're going to have our prayer over this.